You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Wildcat Radio 2.0. Bear down, you beautiful people.
What's up, everybody? This is Wildcat Radio 2.0. I'm Adam Green. He's Brett Barry. And, wow, we have a fun show today, Brett. Like, the big story was going to be Arizona baseball in the postseason facing TCU on Friday. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get some help from our friend Michael Leva, the Arizona Daily Star. He's going to join us a little bit later. Like, that should have been the big news. But then Arizona men's basketball goes and gets a commitment from Caleb Love. So, yeah, we'll start there.
I'd love to talk about that, Adam. I hate myself. No, yeah. You know, it's been kind of rumored. I think we even mentioned it last week on the show. Mm-hmm. It turns out, you know, freaking out about rumors and things on message boards and Twitter and thinking that we weren't going to have a roster was a little bit early, as Arizona now has, another five-star out of high school recruit at the guard position, another 6'4 guy that can play, you know, both point and off as a kind of a combo guard. Man, this roster is looking pretty stacked all of a sudden, Adam.
It is, and Caleb Love is he's a somewhat polarizing player, right? His efficiency has been lacking at North Carolina. He left. He's going to go to Michigan. Apparently, there was something academic-wise or credits-wise he couldn't get into Michigan, and I was like, okay, what happens? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Arizona's in on this, and then Arizona gets him. And I know we were both in agreement that you can get a player like this. Most guys in the portal are going to have some sort of baggage. They're looking for something, or something wasn't working out where they were before. I don't mind his, because I think the issues he does have, like with efficiency and shooting percentage, could easily be solved with a terrific offensive system with talent around him. Now, if the question is, will he share the ball? Will he stop playing hero ball, you know, and taking bad shots? Well, that's on Tommy Lloyd and the coaching staff to make sure of. But I get the feeling that the conversations that Lloyd and the coaching staff had with Caleb Love and what Caleb Love knows he needs to do to get to the NBA, I think it's a match. Now, there may be growing pains as he learns to play a different way and learns this system, but the talent is undeniable. And now you look at what Arizona has, and since people ask, like, what do you think of the starting lineup is going to be? Who's going to come off the bench? Like, I have no idea. But I love that they have options. I love that they have depth at the guard spots. Like, what does Arizona lack, people thought, the last couple of years of the tournament especially, is elite guard play. Now you have Kylan Boswell, Jaden Bradley, and Caleb Love. One of those guys has been to the championship game in Caleb Love. One of them was on arguably the best team in college basketball last season. And the other one, Kylan Boswell, might be the best of the three. So it's a really good position to be in. Arizona is a better team now with Caleb Love than they were before.
Yeah. So I want to break that into a couple of things. So first, you're saying, like, you know, having the options makes this an easier forthright conversation, I think, for Tommy Lloyd and all of the new guards on this roster. Because, you know, if somebody starts playing hero ball, it makes it easier to, you know, pull them from the, you know, throw the hook out there, pull them to the bench. Mm-hmm. When you've got
accountability can be a thing.
When you have really good options on the bench. And, like, you know, I don't know about you. I didn't watch every North Carolina game, so I don't think I can speak to the reputation there more than the casual fan, other than even a North Carolina fan has their own kind of perspectives, right? But mm-hmm. also North Carolina struggled, so how much of that was hero ball that was North Carolina's best option last year?
Yeah.
And the other thing that I find kind of, I was thinking about this earlier, it was gosh, I forget, you know, it's been a while since we've had a good Simpsons reference when the kid makes a mistake on like singing out B-I-N-G-O and the claps, and they're like, ah, missed a clap, not college material when they're in preschool. I feel like that's how it is sometimes for former five-star guys like Caleb Love and Jaden Bradley. It's like, wait, you're not in the NBA by a junior year. You must be terrible and you have no upside. It's like, everybody calm down. Players develop at their own kind of pace. And sometimes that means mentally developing and learning and developing a basketball IQ. And what, you know, to your point, what better fit, especially if one of the criticisms slash, you know, compliments of Tommy Lloyd is his system being what generates the offense and efficient scoring, right?
Yeah.
So in that way, you know, you gotta kind of love it as a interesting fit and see if they can be the best for each other.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like is all the love puns you're going to be making here, because I think we're already up to like two or three, and we're 4 minutes into the show, 5 minutes into the show. So that's disappointing, but also to be expected.
Got a long, loving season ahead of you, Adam.
But no, it's like when Arizona was filling out this roster, you look at them now, and I tweeted out earlier too that I think like the pieces need to fit together, and that's what the Tommy Lloyd and the coaching staff and the players to do it too, right? If the chemistry is there, they're not lacking anything. Because even before, they were missing that proven score. And yeah, you can argue that Caleb Love shot, what, 37%? Like, but the guy can score. He knows he's a bucket, right? And if he can improve that efficiency just to 42%, 43%, wow, you have yourself something. But I don't know what this team is missing now. Like, they have a point guard. They have a backcourt that can defend. They have size. They have athleticism. They have that toughness. They have guys who now would probably be willing to take the last shot. You know, Caleb Love, Kylan Basel, Pella Larson, I think are three guys who'd be willing to take the last shot at any given time. Like Larson had the one that should have beat ASU, and then, you know, eventually what happened in that game that shouldn't be talked about ever again. But like that's something that's what Arizona was missing last season and what Arizona needed going into next season, I think they have, especially with Caleb Love. And yeah, is he the best player in the portal? Like, no, but he was one of the best players in the portal. And his road to Tucson was somewhat convoluted, yeah. But he's a Wildcat now. He's signed, right? He is with the program. He is going to be a Wildcat next season. And the reaction from Arizona's players like Jaden Bradley, Balo, Combs, have all seemed pretty excited about this. So for people like us who would sit there, well, what's going to happen with the starting lineup? Or what are they going to do? Are they going to be happy? Like, players, I think we're learning is that good players like playing with other good players. You know, and then Tommy Lloyd's system, though, and the culture he's building is like, we will make this work. You're going to get your touches. You're going to get your shots. There's a lot of possessions to go around in an Arizona basketball game. Just play within the system and you're going to look good. Right. And I think when players buy into that, it's a lot easier to sell them on bringing in a guy who, I don't know if Caleb, he's probably not coming in to come off the bench. Right. He's going to start and he's going to play 30 minutes a game. But you can make that work a lot easier when every player understands that. Okay, I don't mean I have to start. I'm still going to get my minutes. I'm still going to get my touches. I'm still going to get my shots. And there's one basketball, but there's enough shots to go around in this system.
Yeah, that's another thought I had since the announcement. One way or another, Arizona's going to have probably the Pac-12 six-man of the year next year, right? Yeah. Like, between one of – I don't think Kylan Boswell's coming off the bench. You know, so it's Jaden Bradley, Pella Larson, or Love, right? And no matter who that is, that's a really good six.
I don't even know what lineup I would go with. I don't know if it matters, you know, the starting lineup, and maybe you do it matchup based, because I can see a world where, like, I don't know how good of a defender Caleb Love is, but Boswell's a good defender. Bradley's known as a defender. And Caleb Love, if you go to three guards and Pella coming off the bench, do you have enough offense? Like, I don't know. But if you go with Bradley off the bench as like the first guard off the bench and Pella in the starting line, because he's kind of like an extra guard too, just a big guard who plays pretty good defense. Like, I don't know. But to your point earlier, Brett, the mixing and matching that can be done, like those options that exist. Like last year, you couldn't really have that discussion of what do you do with the starting lineup? You know, who gets the touches, who gets the minutes? Because like there weren't enough good players. That doesn't seem to be like an issue going into this season. And that's a great, it might be stressful for the coach, but it's champagne problems, right? Like, oh no, we have too many good players. How do we delegate? How do we distribute the minutes? And you know, like, yeah, you'll take that.
Well, I think to your point, you have good ingredients. And now is Tommy Lloyd going to be the chef that puts them together and makes a good lineup at any given time, right? In some combination.
Yeah.
I mean, I could even see a world where, you know, it's Caleb Love off the bench, the first guy off the bench, and that's when you put him in when you also put in Vesar instead of Balo, and so you need to let Caleb Love cook a little bit on offense and generate his own shot and be like, yeah, go be you.
Or whether he maybe he starts, but then when Boswell's off, you know, off the floor or something, he stays on there and those minutes overlap a little bit in certain ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, and maybe in that second lineup, you know, the not official, you know, sharp shooting 6'8" Euro player whose name is escaping me / I don't know how to pronounce.
Was that Paul?
Yeah. You know, if he's an outside shooter, if you have Caleb Love as a guy that can penetrate and dish and, you know, initiate the offense, or even Jaden Bradley in that regard, like you can mix and match this roster really intelligently, potentially. And the other thing that, you know, between Caleb Love, Johnson, Jaden Bradley, and don't forget KJ Lewis is a true freshman coming in.
It's easy to forget about him because he hasn't done anything in college, but he's a really good prospect.
Well, and just the, you know, with those new guys coming in, and you know, I love some of the Arizona guys that have left, but boy, physicality and toughness and athleticism is going to be a different thing on this year's roster. It may not be as pretty offensively as Azulis Tabellis, you know, being the perfect, you know, hand in glove for Tommy Lloyd's offensive system as a scoring four. Mm-hmm. But man, you know, defense can turn into offense real well. And then if you have a system that can run a half court offense as well as we think Tommy Lloyd's can, and you just put some talent out there and the right kind of guidance and parameters, it's going to be really fun to see.
Yeah. And that's what I think it's, Grant, we thought last year's team wouldn't be as good offensively as the year before. And they were really good, especially to start the season. So it starts to make you believe that, yeah, Tommy Lloyd, these are players he wants. And that's the thing. Like, this is a team full of guys that he brought to Tucson now. You know, it's not going to be, it's an all Tommy Lloyd team. And there's going to be the growing pains too as he kind of mixes and matches. But it certainly seems like he went into this offseason with a plan to, and you can see, like, what did he want? He wanted to get tougher. He wanted to get better defense. So he wanted to get more athletic. And you see that with the acquisitions, especially through the portal. And yeah, like now we sit at the end of May here. It looks even more silly when the people were like, oh, can he recruit? Can he do anything? What's going to happen? Like, we were on that. Just show, have patience. Like, it's going to be fine, team. Like, look, see what they look like by the time it's put together. But yeah, to see it come to life like this, to see it come into focus. And I don't think Caleb Love was necessarily a part of that plan originally, because it's like, well, you're not going to get him. He's going to Michigan. To rebound with Caleb Love, to get someone like that in late May. And even if he's not a guy who's going to score like 16, 17, 18 points a game, he doesn't have to be that guy at Arizona. If he's 12, 13, 14 points a game with the occasional 20-point effort, you know, when he's cooking, like, then Arizona's a better team, a really scary team. They're a team right now, like, on paper, is, I would think, most certainly a preseason top 10 team that could, with a nice little non-conference, which we know their non-conference schedule is pretty loaded, find their way in the top five, or, you know, if they win these games, like, they're set up to be a really damn good team this year.
Yeah, I have a related to that. I have a question for you, Adam, and, you know, going into plan A, plan B, would you rather have Ryan Nemhard and, you know, what's his name, the Tucson kid Dunn as the combo guard, or Jaden Bradley with Caleb Love?
I mean, I'll take Bradley and Love just because I like the defensive ability. I think, like, Nemhard would have been good. And, like, I think that was the early rumored one that kind of set all the Arizona fans into a panic, right? Because when he ended up choosing Gonzaga. But I think if you knew when they missed out on him that this is how it was going to work out, you'd be like, okay, that's cool. You know, it's a different team. But the thing with, like, Nemhard was he's a super true point guard. Was he taken away from Boswell?
Right.
You know, Bradley, putting a defensive presence, looks like he could be more of a two guard if you need him to. He's also a great point guard. I get that. And Caleb Love is more of a, you know, combo guard type, small forward, two guard who can maybe play a little point too. Like, looking at what they had with Boswell needing to be the guy with the keys, I like this better. But mostly because I like the defense that Bradley brings, and I like the scoring ability and probably the swagger that Caleb Love brings. Like, that's something Arizona needed, and now they have it.
I 100% agree, Adam, so I can't argue with you at all. Thank you for vocalizing a very good answer that I 100% agree with.
Terrific. That was great.
You know what makes a great podcast? Absolutely zero disagreement and conflict.
I mean, it happens, but, like, and that's, none of this is to say that Caleb Love and the team that has been put together is going to be the best team, right? We don't know. But I do have confidence from the first couple of years of what I've seen from Tommy Lloyd, and the fact that, like, Caleb Love, these conversations happened. He knew what this roster looked like already before he decided to go to Tucson, right? And I don't imagine Tommy Lloyd went out and got Caleb Love without having some idea of what Boswell and Jaden Bradley and Pelle Larson, all them, would how they'd feel. Like, these guys want to win. And I imagine they would say Caleb Love can help them win. And I could see a world where this works really, really well. And Arizona is one of the most feared best teams in the nation. Because like I said earlier, I don't think they're lacking anything. Like, maybe some proven ability, like some of the bench guys, like the international guys that are coming in as freshmen, or Henry Vassar taking a step up, right? Or Kellen Boswell being the point guard, a starting point guard. But this isn't like everything has to go right and they're going to be great. If just a few things go right for them, if the veterans come in and play well, the returners and the transfers do what they're capable of, this team's going to be really, really good. Like, really good.
Yeah. I'm not sure there's a superstar on the roster. Maybe, you know, maybe Kylan Boswell or maybe one of the, you know, Jaden Bradley or Caleb Love can get there. But there's quality and there's quantity on this team, right?
Yeah.
Like, with the freshmen coming in, and there's guys that, you know, what if our friend Philly B develops into what we hope he might, right? If he takes a leap or two in the next year or two, and you know, same with Henry Vassar, I think he still may have the highest NBA upside if he puts it all together, but maybe he never gets there, right?
Yeah.
You know, with Krivas there, you still have Dylan Anderson. Like, there's one thing I can say with pretty good confidence with, you know, the young guys that saw some minutes but weren't quite ready last year. One or two of them is going to develop to be a useful player at a minimum this year.
You'd
think. Combine that with the roster that they've assembled with the new guys, even with the guys they've lost. I don't think Arizona's not going to be going seven deep this year. I think it's going to be going much deeper, more regularly, and much deeper into the season.
And it can handle different matchups, create issues, match up with other teams, and also if there's foul trouble or injuries, they should have more depth to deal with that, right?
Yeah.
And it's basketball, it's sports, like any things can go wrong. Injuries can happen on, you know, it's, but on paper, they are an absolutely loaded team. And like you said, it's a matter of, can Tommy Lloyd get the pieces to mix together and be, you know, better than just the individual pieces? Can they be a really good team? And I'm pretty confident because the guys they brought in other than Bradley, and Bradley was on Alabama playing a role that he was not the main guy. They brought in veterans. Keshad Johnson was in a national championship game. You know, Caleb Love has been in the national championship game. These guys, I'm sure, want to get back and win the thing. And they're going to bring a level of veteran leadership that and experience that Arizona didn't have. You know, that's one thing they were lacking the last couple of years is guys who went deep into the tournament. Now they have two guys, two of their biggest transfers, who were just one game away from being national champions. Like, that matters. That'll hold some weight. And I think that'll help this team come together with that singular focus. You know, but we'll see. It's basketball. These are college kids. You know, anything can happen. But I like what they had going before Caleb Love. And I love what they have going now with Caleb Love.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now who's the one making the love puns?
Well, that wasn't even a pun. That was just me saying, because like, I do generally, like, I'm a big fan of this move. I mean, what it does for Arizona basketball.
God,
I really like it a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need to end this segment before my wheels just start turning to terrible, terrible love puns and love jokes.
That mean it hasn't been already?
Oh, it can get way worse.
That, I believe you. Well, let's save you from yourself and our listeners from you and take a break. And we come back, we mentioned Arizona baseball. They are in the postseason. Wow. I don't know how many people expected that. But let's talk to Michael Levin, learn more about how they got there and what Arizona might be capable of.
I love it.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, it's Wildcat Radio 2.0, and we are joined by Michael Lev of the Arizona Daily Star, the Wildcaster app. He is the interim sports editor right now, but he's covered football, covers baseball, does all the Arizona sports. Michael, welcome back to Wildcat Radio 2.0.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's been a while.
It has been a while, but of course, this is a great time to talk to you because Arizona baseball, we learned over the weekend, you know, they were one win away from earning an automatic bid into the postseason. They lost to Oregon, and it was, okay, time to stress. Like, what is going to happen? And you're watching the selection show Monday, just as the names are being released. It's like, okay, this is a bubble team. This is a bubble team. And none of them were Arizona. And they get to the very last pod, and Arizona shows up like, whoa, okay, the Wildcats are in. I guess, was it a surprise to see their name called there, shown on the screen?
I think a mild surprise, given that there were a couple of upsets on Sunday in conference tournaments that didn't bode well for bubble teams. You know, if you're looking for the reason that, you know, ASU is not in the tournament, UC Irvine's not in the tournament, it's probably because Tulane won the American and Charlotte won Conference USA, you know, and the teams that they beat were going to make the tournament anyway, you know, so those are stolen bids. I wrote going into Saturday that I thought they deserved to make it. Now, saying that they deserve to make it and that they would make it are not exactly the same things, right? Clearly one of the best 64 teams in the country, but, you know, the best 64 teams in the country don't always make these tournament brackets. And the committee placed a lot of value on their record against top 50 opponents, the way they finished the season, their RPI. All of those factors worked in their favor.
Right. And that's, I remember saw like a lot of the conversation, obviously, on our Twitter feeds. We see a lot of ASU people who are upset. And, you know, first half of the season, ASU was really good. Last half of the season, not so good. And it's almost the inverse for Arizona. And I feel like what it comes down to is you can make a case for USC. You can make a case for ASU. You can make a case for Irvine, right? But you can also make a case for Arizona. And when you're a bubble team, like some teams are going to be left off, while other teams are going to be put in. And for Arizona, it's kind of like the culmination of this really good baseball they've been playing up until and through the Pac-12 tournament that they came one run away, I guess two runs away from winning. Like, it couldn't be like, it's hard to argue against them. You can argue for other teams and other programs, but you can't really argue against Arizona's inclusion. Is that the way to put it?
I mean, it is. You could argue against their inclusion. I mean, they were 12-18 during the regular season in Pac-12 play, but I think we have to rewire our brains a little bit and look at it differently. They look at aggregate record against conference opponents. And when you put it in those terms, their record is 16-19 because they went 3-1 in the Pac-12 tournament. And they also beat ASU in a midweek game, 20-0. And that score did not go unnoticed, by the way. I mean, the chair of the selection committee was like, you know, they played them two times and outscored them 32-3, you know, subsequent to, you know, losing to the Sun Devils up in Phoenix three games in a row. The one thing that was kind of interesting to me about the selection show and its aftermath is there were a lot of gripes about RPI. And I think most people think that it is a flawed metric. You know, basketball obviously has gone away from it. It's kind of this self-fulfilling prophecy in a way, you know, like the SEC teams all beat up on one another and it seems like their RPIs all go up, you know, and poor UC Irvine. They had an 8-1 record against the Pac-12, right? But because USC and ASU fell out of the top 50 in RPI, they didn't get credit for quad one wins at the end of the day. Their only quad one game was the game against Arizona. And so, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like there needs to be a tweak or some sort of different system where it's not so favorable for the teams on one coast and unfavorable for teams on the other coast.
Well, Michael, we talked about how hot Arizona got playing its best ball down the stretch, you know, not only smoking ASU 20-0, but, you know, run ruling.
That score can't be repeated enough. Like, the more we talk about 20-0, like, the better, I think.
Well, but, and I don't know how much visibility plays into it, but, you know, run ruling Stanford on national TV probably goes, you know, a long way. And, you know, moving on just so from Arizona getting in, it seems like Arizona is a team that no team probably wants to face now in the postseason because they are playing really well. That offense is legit. You know, if look what happens at Stanford. If they have a pitcher have a good night, boy, they're tough to beat. Do you think I have that right?
Yeah, I always compare this team to the 2019 team that did not make the NCAA tournament. That team won its last 10 games in a row at the end of the season. It won 13 out of 14. It had an unbelievably good offense, really struggled defensively and pitching wise earlier in the season. Didn't have the opportunity that this team did to notch several more quality wins because there was no such thing as the Pac-12 tournament. That team was without a doubt a team that no one would have wanted to face. And I think this team is similar largely because that lineup will just wear you out. You know, I always talk about this, like Tony Bullard bats seventh in this lineup. And since he came back from his concussion, I mean, he's hit batting like 400, you know, with a lot of power. I mean, he's hitting as well as anyone in the country. If you got a guy like Tony Bullard, and he's batting seventh in your lineup, you probably have a pretty good lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's like this Arizona team. That's where it turns into they're in. Great. You know, it's a nice accomplishment, especially the way the season was going. There was, you know, could they make it? Were they going to make it? Is Chip Hale the right guy for the job? Some of those, like that question's probably still, you know, making the tournament doesn't mean that everything is okay. Everything was going great. But now that they're in, it means they have an opportunity. It's like all you need is to get into the tournament. It's like March Madness. Just get in and you have a chance to win the whole thing. How do you see this Arizona team stacking up? Like their pod isn't terrible, but I guess, you know, they're going to have some good teams in there, right? Like they're not the favorite for a reason, but as they enter the NCAA tournament, like how do you judge this Arizona team?
Yeah, well, remember last year, the team that knocked out Arizona down in Coral Gables was Ole Miss. Ole Miss was the last team to get in, the last at large. They ended up winning the entire thing. Okay, so there's sort of the blueprint right there, the model that Arizona can follow. I saw a reference to this regional as the toughest regional of all 16. I don't, you know, that's totally subjective, but I mean, Arkansas's number three overall had a really good record in the SEC. TCU won the Big 12 tournament and had a really good season. Stylistically, very interesting matchup on Friday. TCU likes to run a lot. I mean, they have well over 100 stolen bases this year, and Arizona has not been very good at throwing out base runners. I will be interested to see who they play at catcher in that game because Cameron Laliberte has been better at throwing out runners than Tommy Splaine, but I think Tommy Splaine is better at blocking, and he's also a better hitter. So there's kind of a trade-off there. You know what it comes down to, guys? It comes down to really like what it always comes down to is what kind of pitching are they going to get, you know? And I think the threshold is basically 5 runs a game. If they can limit the opponent to 5 or fewer runs, they'll have a really good chance of winning this regional. They had, I believe the record was 20-7 during the season when they did that. So when they lost to Oregon on Saturday night, 5-4, it was only the 7th time all season that they had held an opponent to 5 or fewer runs and failed to win the game. So you know, we're not asking for amazing pitching, even great pitching, just above average pitching. If the lineup does what it usually does, Arizona will have a very good chance.
So, you know, we kind of talked about this baseball team with Brian Peterson of AZ Desert Swarm last week, and I kind of jokingly made a reference to it's the Rich Rod football team of baseball. It feels like that's kind of what this team is, where, you know, if you know your point of 5 runs, like that's not a great, you know, defensive pitching outing. Right. But to me, it feels like the equivalent of can you get a turnover or two or get a couple of stops and then the offense is going to outscore them. Is that a reasonable comparison?
Yeah, I think that trend has been going since Jay Johnson was here. I mean, I always say Jay Johnson, best offensive coordinator in college baseball. You know, I mean, those teams could mash. And when they got, you know, decent enough pitching, they went all the way to the College World Series. You know, it's interesting that you say that too, the Rich Rod comparison, because I was looking at some numbers, some stats today, and offense is just up in college baseball everywhere. You know, similar to how, you know, offense is up in college football. I don't really know the reason. I don't know if it, you know, if it's technology, if it's something that's going on with the bats or the way that they're preparing the baseballs. I think with football, it's pretty obvious, right? I mean, it's the spread. It's, you know, putting your best athlete at quarterback. It's all the rule changes are geared toward offense for the most part in football. So you're going to see those higher scores. You know, Arizona's ERA, I think for the season, it's well over five. Right. And I think the leader in the Pac-12 was over four. So it's an offensive game. And so you kind of have to have that part. And like you said, if you can kind of get a couple breaks along the way, one thing I really like about this Arizona team is they field the ball well. That's been the biggest area of improvement under Chip Hale, is they've gone from a lower rung Pac-12 defensive team to one of the best defensive teams in the Pac-12. And that's the kind of thing that you maybe makes the difference in you know, winning and losing a close game.
You know, you mentioned too, like the improvement under Chip Hale now in his second season with Arizona baseball. And I know his hire was met with some skepticism. I was one of the skeptics. And I, like I was saying, I kind of still am. I'm not sure if making the tournament this season, you know, allays all those concerns. Like, okay, he's fine. He's the right guy. But I will say there, he deserves a lot of credit for getting this team to buy in and keep playing hard throughout the course of the season. Now, maybe having the carrot of the Pac-12 tournament helped. He's like, hey, they can have the bad regular season and still make the tournament if they win that thing. But it seems like he did such a great job of keeping them together, not letting the offense get down on the pitching and the pitching be like, you know, get down on the offense or whatever it is, that they kept a team mentality and got, you know, got better. They improved throughout the course of the season and started playing well when it mattered. Like, how do you rate his coaching job this season?
Yeah, I think they easily could have completely fallen apart this year. I mean, think of how many just absolutely gut-wrenching losses they suffered. That two games up at Oregon State, you know, two walk-offs, one you're winning 1-0. It's like, oh, you finally get great pitching, and then you lose 2-1 in the bottom of the ninth. Emilio Corona, 2 days later, hits 3 home runs and 8 RBIs in one game, and you somehow lose that game again in a walk-off. You know, the next time you go on the road up to Stanford, you lose in a walk-off. In the Friday night game, he did a great job to me of keeping them together. Like you said, fighting hard, battling. I had faith that they would continue to do that, but it's easy to splinter, you know, and it would be easy to point fingers at the bullpen, you know, as maybe the biggest cause of, you know, their struggles during the season and how many blown leads did they have. Instead, they have come together. And they have literally come together before the game. If you're ever at a game or they show this maybe on TV, like the entire team now gets together. They link the arm in arm into a giant huddle, and they just kind of, you know, shoot the you know what, right? And tell stories and have fun, and then they do the little Chicago Bulls, you know, what time is it game time thing at the end. So instead of going that direction, you know, where they're splitting apart, they've actually come together and bonded. And that always is a positive sign for a program.
So with that being said, you know, also the video of them getting the announcement was awesome. And I think showed that bond, like just really pure, like camaraderie and joy there. That was kind of just fun to watch on a loop, like a Chase Davis home run. But as we're heading into this matchup Friday against TCU, What are your keys for this game and for this team entering a pool play?
Well, I mentioned, you know, controlling the running game. And the best way to do that, of course, is to prevent guys from getting on base in the first place. I believe Cam Walty is going to get the start in Friday's game. He wasn't very effective last time out, but he pitched on short rest. He only had 4 days of rest. Usually it's 6, and he'll have, 8 days of rest, I think, something like that. I'm heading into this start, and he's been very consistent down the stretch. Having him healthy has made a huge difference. Far and away the best, you know, strikeout to walk ratio on the team. His issue's been kind of that one big inning, getting that third out. There have been a couple of blowups lately where he's gotten two outs, and then the other team has done a bunch of damage. So getting a good start from Cam Walty, I think, is critical. And then offensively, you know, don't try to do too much. You know, just be who you are. The circumstances, they are what they are. It shouldn't change the way you approach things at the plate. I think playing in all these kind of, you know, must win type of games down the stretch, I think will prepare them well for this. They're used to the pressure. It won't be anything new to them. Should they play Arkansas at that stadium, that'll be a trip. Their capacity is over 10,000. It's supposed to be one of the best and loudest stadiums in the country. That'll be interesting. But hey, you know what? I've seen Arizona teams go into those situations before and win. Go back to 2016. They had the Super Regional at Mississippi State. Arizona emerged on top. And so, you know, I've seen Wildcat teams do this before, go into the heart of SEC country and emerge victorious. So I think anything is possible in that regard.
That makes it fun, right? Like, they're not going in as a favorite. Like, they've, I guess for the way the season went, they've already, through most people's eyes, achieved all that you could ask of them. Now it's just kind of playing with house money, go out there, play baseball. They got good players, obviously. They got Major League Baseball players on this team, especially in the lineup. But do you think that looseness maybe that they've been playing with because maybe they're not supposed to be there? Some people might think, hey, why not just go out there, play loose, have some fun, and maybe win a couple of games?
I would say yes, that does help for sure. On the other hand, they would much rather be in Tucson, sure, you know, as a top 16 national seed. And have the ability to play in their ballpark in the conditions that they're used to. They you know, cruised pretty much through the postseason 2 years ago when they were able to play here back in, I think, 2012. I think that was the first year at High Corbett, right? They rolled, you know, teams came here and they literally melted, you know. So it's a little different game in the SEC. The park dimensions are different. The ball carries in a different way. You're not going to have the elevation. You're not going to have the dry conditions. So it'll be interesting. You know, the fences will be closer, though. So maybe some of those, you know, balls where guys get high corbeted, you know, will end up going over the fence. I the pressure thing, to me, I think they'll be fine, yeah, in that regard. I think they, like I said, I think they've played enough games where they have felt that pressure. I mean, look at the Oregon State game in the Pac-12 tournament. I mean, they back and forth and back and forth. And I guess, you know, thank goodness they had the last at bat.
I remember watching thinking the exact same thing, that I'm glad they're back. I'm glad they went into the bottom of the inning too, like tied, you know, as opposed to down. But it certainly felt like whoever had the last at bat, it's like the last possession in basketball or on a football game. Like, whoever has the ball last is going to win. It certainly seemed that way. Well, Michael Love, the Arizona Daily Star, I know you got plenty of content. You got a lot of, I guess your hands are in a lot of things now with the paper and everything, but what can people expect to find from you? What should people be looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm going on the road. I am, I'm headed out to Fayetteville, and we'll have kind of wall-to-wall coverage of this baseball run as long as it lasts. There are not a lot of sports left going right now at Arizona. There's a handful of track and field athletes who are going to the NCAAs. But other than that, I mean, this is pretty much it. So we're going to play it up as much as we can. People can, of course, follow all of our coverage at Tucson.com. I'm on Twitter at Michael J. Lev, and we'll be tweeting up a storm.
Looking forward to it. Hopefully it's a nice long run for you. Have a good time out there, you know, stay dry, I guess. I don't know. Stay like, don't melt is the humidity. I don't even know what humidity does. I'm from Phoenix, so, you know, whatever. Well, Michael Lev, appreciate the time. And yeah, we'll catch up with you again down the road.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Michael Lev. When we come back, we'll give you our thoughts on Arizona baseball's march into the postseason.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We're back. It's Wildcat Radio 2.0. Thanks again to Michael Love of the Arizona Daily Star, the Wildcaster app. You can find him all over the place on Twitter, too, like he was saying. And Brett, like, we've been really, we're spoiled with some of the baseball people we get to talk to, right? With Brian Peterson last week, Michael Love this week. We can really go in on Arizona baseball, which is not something much we expected to be doing this time of year, right? And like previewing other games. It certainly seemed like a couple of months ago, especially, that things were going the wrong direction, that they were not going to be in the tournament. And here Arizona is. And, you know, they're not the favorite, right? But they have a puncher's chance.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think anybody wants to face this Arizona team. You know, they've been just on a tear. The pitching seems to be, dare I say, maybe mildly improving or getting more consistent, and also going to be well-rested on the whole staff. And you got the good defense to kind of help support them. You know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm very happy, and I'm kind of surprised that they got in, and I'm really curious to see what they're going to be able to do with that opportunity, because I think this roster is going to maximize it.
I think so, right? They're going and they're playing good baseball, and like pitching, yikes. I mean, they did, you know, we saw they did it at Stanford, right, to ASU before that. We saw what happened against Oregon State, and we saw what happened against Oregon in the Pac-12 tournament. Like, they've shown the ability to be pretty good pitching wise, but really it does come down to their offense, right? Like, and like Lev was saying, if they can hold the opponent to five runs, that's a pretty good sign with that offense. But I do think from watching Arizona, just following them, to like, if they get out to like, you know, a 4-run first inning, or, you know, they're up 4-1, you know, 5-2 or whatever it is early on, and kind of show that their offense is going to get the job done, it kind of puts a little bit of pressure on the opponent, right? That they can't make those mistakes, and then their bats have to keep up. And that's the one thing. Arizona's strength is obviously the lineup. It's the bats. So anything you can get that's quality pitching, and like I was saying, like just above average, slightly above average would be enough, as long as the offense just mashes. And that's their identity, right? That's who Arizona baseball is this season. And, you know, maybe we are kind of too hard on the pitching staff, because when you look around college baseball, no one pitches well. Like, some teams have a good pitcher, but overall, pitching is tough to come by. So Arizona is not unique in that regard, but where Arizona is unique is their lineup can be really devastating to pretty much anyone they face.
Well, and I think as Lev pointed out, it's top to bottom really good, right?
Yeah.
And I think what you just said it really resonated with me when you said that it puts pressure on the other team, and combined with the fact that this team knows that they're never out of it, right? They're going to keep applying pressure, even if you give up. You know, that Stanford game, when that first inning, what was it, a 2-run home run? The first inning was real. The start of the game was real bad on the pitching side.
And then it settled in.
And then, you know, that second inning happened, and Arizona,
they run ruled Stanford, and it's only one game. But even then, like, the pressure for Arizona, they were just in a tournament where they were basically in must win games, right? If they lose to ASU in their first game, they're not making, they're, unless they got lucky and still somehow won the Pac-12 tournament, they're not in. Right. Yeah. If they lose to Oregon State, they're probably not in. If they lose to Stanford, I mean, maybe. But by winning those games, like, as far as they were concerned, they had to win every one of those games. And they probably feel like they had to beat Oregon, too, which they did not. But there was a lot of pressure there, and they didn't act like it. They didn't play like they were like in must win games. Right. So maybe that will serve them, and other teams play in their tournaments, too. But when, kind of like the Ole Miss comparison, when you are fighting for your life towards the end of the season, where, you know, every game is like pretty much do or die just to get into the tournament, like, you face that pressure. You know what it's like to be in the situation, to know that if you lose that game, your season's over. So this tournament, you know, the postseason, shouldn't be too much on them. Whereas maybe some of these other teams, like, I don't know, for Arkansas, obviously Arkansas is really good, and TCU is really good, right? And Santa Clara, also in their pod, is a good baseball team. So it's not like there's like Arizona has this advantage that no one else has. But, you know, I don't feel bad about them going in. Right. Like, to me, they've accomplished everything I want to see them accomplish, especially the way the season went. Now, I wish they were a top seed. I wish they had won more games and have like a 10 game losing streak. But all things considered, with what happened, to finish the way they did and to get to this point, that makes it success. Like, we get to watch Chase Davis as an Arizona Wildcat more. Right. We get to watch Kiko Romero some more. Right. We get to see Tony Bullard some more. Like, it's great because these guys have been great, and it's nice to see them play in an Arizona jersey, you know, a couple more times at least.
Well, and they're fun to watch, not just because of the offense, but because of that camaraderie.
Mostly because of the offense, though.
Well, but that camaraderie where they actually, you know, and you know, you watch Kiko Romero, you watch Chase Davis. For college guys in high pressure situations, those guys seem so calm and recognizing pitches, and they're like the subtle art of taking a really good pitch.
Yeah,
right.
The pitcher's pitch.
Yeah, and that's what stuck out to me the most in watching the Pac-12 tournament games, and that augurs very well for the remainder of however long their postseason run is. And then, you know, I'm blanking on the pitcher's name that, you know, the benefit of the run rule also would allow for a complete game by that starter whose name I'm forgetting. But that means that's two innings that, you know, any relief pitcher didn't have to do. So they should be better rested. Cause when these are like 18, 19, 20 year old guys, it's not professionals that have been training for this for years and years to have that, you know, ability to bounce back and have longevity in their arms. Right. So,
yeah,
you have to curb your optimism with the realism of that this is the same team that, you know, lost what 10 straight conference games, but you know, we knew they had this potential in them. And boy, if they just get decent pitching, they're gonna be a real tough out, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, of course the disappointing thing was how they gave up 5 runs in the championship game against Oregon and still lost. Left a lot of runners on base. Oh, but and
they had Chase Davis as the game winning run at the plate up at bat with 2 outs. I mean, for much better.
Yeah. But that's the funny thing, right? Like their offense but that's where the one thing that like the pressure comes. It's like, if their offense doesn't go off, can they still win games? Because there were games this season where the pitching was really good and the offense just disappeared. You know, that can't happen, probably. Right? There's multiple ways to win a baseball game. Arizona knows that. But, yeah, I think it's going to be fun. Like, for however long this ride is, like, do you think, kind of asked Lev about it, too, and we were talking with Brian Peterson last week, as he does his form, like, does this kind of validate Chip Hale to you and the job he's done?
I think it validates what we all hoped and assumed were going to be his strengths, right? Like talking about, you expect defensive improvements, you expected to see a pretty good leader of men. And I think those things have proven out to be the case, right? Now, is Chip Hale responsible for the pitching staff struggling? Is that it's partially, I guess.
Dave Lawn, yeah. Like, you know, where do you put the finger? Yeah.
Or is it just the nature of baseball right now? Like, you know, it's a little bit more complicated. And then, you know, the running joke and big concern always is Chip's ability to recruit. But you know what's going to really help him recruit? Run ruling Stanford on national TV and making the postseason and hopefully winning a couple games there too, right? On national TV, it really helps. And that ability to close the season with that camaraderie and seeing those videos of those guys celebrating, you know, that's going to make him a better recruiter. Kind of like how the Adia Barnes, you know, flipping the bird and saying F the haters thing. She's going to trade on that in recruiting for the rest of her career, probably. This isn't quite that level, but it's along the same lines where, you know, there's tangible results that he can point to that'll help him in that recruiting side. So I think yes, but we'll also still see in terms of your original question, you know, like we still don't know for sure. But I think his strengths were confirmed and his weaknesses are maybe helped by the way the season is ending.
Maybe. And Braden Zastro is the guy who shut down Stanford. Ah, that's the name you're thinking of. But yeah, I think that's kind of where I fall. Like, I'm not like 2 years in, made the tournament a couple of times, like not all players that he recruited yet still, right? There were some holdovers that some guys he inherited who are really good and he's been relying on. So I'm not 100% sold on Chip Hale, and you know I won't be for another year or two. You know, once it's like his guys and shows that continued improvement, sneaking into the postseason does not a great coach make. That said, I am impressed with how he kept them together. Like those strengths that you talked about. One of the things, like, he's a player's coach, right? He's supposed to be someone who, a high energy guy, a motivator, and he's apparently succeeded in every way imaginable in that regard. And that's half the battle. These are college kids, you know, just keeping them focused, keeping them optimistic, keeping them just to keep grinding and plugging away and getting better. He did that. And, you know, recruiting, as we talked about Brian, it's impossible. some of your best, but you get some of these best recruits and they'll never step foot on campus, right? Yeah. Like that's just going to be the case. So can you maximize the talent that does step foot on campus? It does make it to Tucson. And yeah, they need more pitching, but everyone does. Did he maximize the talent that he has? Like, it's certainly starting to look that way. You know, maybe not earlier in the season, certainly not earlier in the season, but as they're playing now, they have gotten better and they look like a team that no one's going to want to play. They look like a team that for all their faults and for all the struggles they had this season could do some damage in the tournament, you know? And it's kind of like, it's like March Madness. You don't have to be a number one seed to win the whole thing. And if you make a deep run, if Arizona makes it to the World Series, no one's gonna be like, oh, well, they just snuck in. They don't deserve to be like, no, they'll belong, right? Cause they have their opportunity. So I like that they started playing well. I mean, I wish they would have started playing better sooner, but I like that they got hot at the right time and kept at it. So to me, you know, I was never like, I wouldn't have gotten rid of Chip Hale anyway, even if they missed the tournament this season, but he certainly earned slightly more bet, like slightly more of a leash here to me, right? Cause he did get there this season. He did get the team, keep them playing well, get them to play well, their best baseball at the end of the season. Like that's a sign of a good coach.
Yeah. I think that's right. And I think that's, you know, as a coach and a leader and a developer is what you expected to be the strength. And I think he's shown that, yeah. You know? And so, you know, I guess you always play to your strengths and try to mitigate your weaknesses, Adam. So Chip Hale is playing to his strengths right now. And hopefully, however long this run goes, he can, you know, I don't even know if we can say his recruiting is a weakness. It's just that he's never done it, right?
It's also baseball recruiting. How many of these guys have we really heard of? Like, you see their rankings, the best players. Yeah, he could sign the best class, and they never make it to Tucson, so who cares? Like, does that mean he can recruit? Like, if guys never make it to campus?
When you can only offer guys quarter scholarships and half scholarships, and you need to find the right guys that are going to thread that needle and, you know, the local kids from Tucson that make good and, you know, are in-state tuition in a 25% scholarship or no scholarship doesn't even matter, right? Like they want to play for Chip Hale in Arizona, right? And it's a different nuanced thing. And, you know, I think we worry about that and that recruiting stuff in the off season. And, you know, starting Friday, we just enjoy the ride and see how far this team can go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the game Friday, 6 p.m. Arizona time, TCU, Arizona. Wow, that should be fun. I think the game's on ESPN2, if I remember right.
I want to say it was ESPNU, and I'm not just...
Oh, ESPNU, that sounds right, yeah.
I'm not just similar trying to signing, lie.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. It's close enough. One of the ESPN, 6 o'clock on Friday, Arizona versus TCU, renewing that rivalry that we saw on the basketball court a couple of years ago in the tournament. Hopefully, similar result for Arizona and coming out on top in what should be a really good baseball game. And then, yeah, who knows? Like, you're in the dance, and once there, anything can happen. But I think that just about does it for this jam-packed show. We talked Caleb Love, that's fun. Talk Arizona baseball, got Michael Lev on to give us his thoughts on Arizona making the postseason. I feel like we've covered all the big stuff.
I think so, at least for this week.
Yeah, so once again, thank you to Michael Lev for joining us, one of our favorite guests to have on Wildcat Radio 2.0. You can find us on Twitter at Wildcat Radio AZ. Find us on Spotify, on iTunes. If you're on, you know, subscribe to us on both, but if you're on iTunes, leave us a rating and a review, and we'll read that review on the air. But yeah, we'll have more Arizona baseball to talk about next week, no matter what happens this weekend. And we'll hopefully it's previewing more games, but if not, then obviously we'll have that discussion too. But yeah, that about does it. Thank you for listening. Catch you next week. Remember to bear down.
Bear down.